When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, welcome to Forest Focus. Nottingham Forest face the toughest of tasks on Sunday as they take on Manchester City in their fight to stay in the Premier League. Joining me to discuss if the Reds have any kind of chance against the defending champions is Simon Bykowski, the Manchester City writer for the Manchester Evening News. Simon, good of you to join me. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well. Thanks, Matt. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad at all. Thank you. And I'm not particularly looking forward to Sunday, but it's nice to talk about something other than VAR for a couple of days anyway.
Yeah, a crazy few days, I suppose.
Oh man, yeah, it has been. But I guess you know all about that, covering Man City as well. There's always something to write about.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I suppose two rants from clubs at opposite ends of the table. I suppose it was strange for City to win at Wembley and then Pep to immediately start shouting about the schedule, and then. Yeah, on Sunday or whatever, you see the Forest tweet and just think, oh God, here we go again.
Let's talk football anyway and focus on the pitch matters for the next 20 to 30 minutes or so. We always start these previews just asking about how the season's gone so far for your team. And I think City are a really interesting case because obviously they won everything last season. And then I thought, oh, they'll bring quite a few players in to shake it up to maintain motivation. They didn't really. They got, I guess, Doku and a couple of others. But are you surprised by just how relentless they've been, or did you see this coming?
I think City this season has been really interesting. I think if you kind of look at the position, you think, yeah, they've done it all again, all fine. It's kind of felt like all season they've been sort of struggling to tread water, and that is treading water at the very top. But not much has gone their way. You know, small violins and all that. But they lost Gundogan in summer, who they didn't want to lose. And they lost Riyad Mahrez in summer, who they weren't expecting to lose. And then they were kind of, planning to lose Cole Palmer. But then when Riyad Mahrez went, that kind of became, oh, we'd quite like Cole Palmer to stay, actually. But they spent so long telling Cole Palmer that they weren't planning to have him that he then sort of said, well, if you bring in Jeremy Doku, then I don't fancy my chance of staying. So they've lost kind of three players that could have, well, two that did make a big impact for them and win games for them on big stages, and one that has obviously gone on to do very well for Chelsea. They brought in Kovacic, who's been all right. They brought in Nunes from Wolves, who hasn't done anything. They brought in Doku, who's okay and has started to do a few things. And Gvardiol, this kind of world-class centre-back who they've played at left-back all season, who has started to look better at left-back. But Guardiola's kind of summed it up a bit. He's not looked the most comfortable playing left-back. And we sort of, whenever we've spoken to him, he was like, yeah, it's a very different position. I have to run a lot more. You know, you didn't get the sense he was properly enjoying it. It sounds silly to say because they lost to Real Madrid, but they are on a club record unbeaten run. They haven't lost in the league since Villa in December. But they've had De Bruyne out for 5 months and still not quite on it. They've had Haaland out for 2 months and still with various issues. So it's never really felt like everything's come together for them in the way that it properly did last season when they kind of overtook Arsenal so emphatically at the end of the season. So very much in with a chance of winning the title. But Arsenal certainly seem to look stronger than City. So it's a bit of a surprise that City is still there.
What's going on with a couple of these players, and Haaland in particular, I guess? Because I remember obviously away, we played you away early in the season, last season, and he absolutely murdered Forest and quite a lot of teams. Is it a case that maybe he's been worked out a little bit, or is he just off form? Because he doesn't look, he's obviously very, you know, top class, but he doesn't look quite the player last season.
Yeah, I mean, weirdly, his build-up, I would say, has been better than last season. I know he kind of got the Roy Keane League 2 comment the other week, but he's been better linking up. I don't want to say he scored fewer goals because Kevin De Bruyne has been out for so long, but that has been a part of it. And they played together at Luton in the FA Cup, and I think De Bruyne got 4 assists and Haaland got 5 goals. So it was like, yeah, when it clicked, it properly clicks. But De Bruyne has been either injured or not quite as good, and Haaland's just not quite been as good, basically. He's finishing. You know, his finishing last season and in his whole career has been absurdly good at outperforming expected goals. I think this is the first season in his career where he's underperforming his expected goals. It's kind of as simple as shots he was having last season that were going in. He's having the same shots and they're not going in. So, yeah, it's just one of those things. I think sort of City is still obviously a better team when he plays. And, you know, Guardiola has sort of been a bit irked at some of the criticism around him because he is kind of doing more of a job for the team than you maybe think. But he, again, a player who has scored 30 goals this season, he's just not quite been as clinical as he was last season. I think he probably should have had close to the 40 mark.
When we're talking from a Forest point of view here, obviously, on this podcast, are there any weaknesses that Forest can exploit? Because I've watched City quite a lot, and they do have games where teams will have literally one shot on target and they'll score it. Is that a recurring pattern that we can derive some hope from or not?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, City have kept barely any clean sheets this season. It's been really kind of difficult for them to keep clean sheets. And it's not that they've defended badly for games, but there will be at least one moment in every game where they defend really badly. And it's not one particular player or one particular move. It's just kind of a concentration issue as much as anything. I think they just kind of flip at a certain point. And, you know, in recent weeks, it's been more pronounced, I think, because the players have been more tired. So you've had the likes of Rodri kind of not being as effective in midfield and giving the ball away. And you've had defenders kind of not being quite as tight as they would be. But I think most teams that have gone at City this season, and it doesn't have to be, you know, gung-ho for 90 minutes, but if you commit to an attack and things go for you, then you've got a very good chance of scoring against City.
That was one of the things I was going to ask you. I mean, of the teams that have troubled them, has anyone troubled them by sitting in and trying to soak it up? Because that feels like a redundant tactic to me, or can it work?
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, Real Madrid did it and only conceded one goal, and Arsenal did it and didn't concede. But you would kind of say, hey, you know, the quality of their defence and their whole team is exceptional. And also, you know, certainly Real Madrid were very, very lucky to come away having only conceded one goal. It doesn't feel like that can work. But if teams kind of score, not early-ish, but say in the first half when, you know, you take a chance, then that then kind of gives you a bit of a buffer to sit back a bit more and kind of forces City to take the game to you when you can sort of get the counters and things like that. I think, you know, it's not changed too much for City this season in the sense that the teams that have the best success against them are the ones that have sort of the clearest identity in playing and belief in playing of their style and are sort of confident that they can get a result. But I would say teams have been kind of more able to have that success than they did last season or a few years ago because City have just been that bit more vulnerable than they were.
Do you think, obviously last season they came to the City ground and we drew, and we were lucky to draw, but we did get the point. Will that have any bearing at all in Pep's thinking? How did he react to that defeat, that draw, out of curiosity? Because we were basically the only team to lay a glove on you in the second half of the season.
Yeah, I don't think City dropped any points between then and winning the league in kind of May. Yeah, it was a really interesting day in City's season because 3 days before they'd gone to Arsenal and won. And I don't know if you remember the Wednesday he played Forest on the Saturday. Arsenal were at Villa and they were 1-0 down and they were 2-1 down and they came back to win 3-2 in injury time. And I mean, it came out on the Netflix documentary on City, like the City players watching the Arsenal game before the Forest game. And, you know, this old trope of like football, oh, they never check other teams' results. They don't see how other teams are playing. But they kind of watched Arsenal go from a situation of dropping points to winning and then kind of came out against Forest and missed a load of chances and then conceded late on to draw. So it was a really annoying day for City. I don't think the dressing room was a particularly pleasant place to be afterwards. And kind of a lot of home truths said about, you know, we can't afford to be as wasteful and as clinical. And, you know, they took that on board and then were much better afterwards. Probably different to this season a bit, in which they are now at the point where they can't drop any points. So you would expect them to be that bit more switched on. But it also depends on what happens, you know, with the results before them. Because I think Arsenal have got the North London derby at 2 o'clock on Sunday. Mm. So, you know, we've got a situation again where what City need to do could change depending on what happens a few hours before kickoff.
We're recording this shortly before City play Brighton as well. So we don't know exactly what team news and team selection will be. But as a victim of Pep Roulette and FPL repeatedly, are there any particular players that would come into this game? Is it a Doku game? Is it a Grealish game generally against a team like Forest, would you say, for example?
So what has been working really well for City lately is playing Grealish, starting Grealish and then bringing Doku off the bench. Pep said after the FA Cup game against Wembley is that he'd spoken to Doku about the fact that he played well when he started, but not when he came off the bench. And so he sort of had this conversation to be like, you need to be the guy that comes off and sort of really goes at tide. I mean, Doku is everyone's idea. He's either a terrific super sub if he's on your team, or he's a defender's worst nightmare when you've sort of been battling away for 70 minutes against this City team who don't give the ball away. And then they bring on sort of, you know, such a speedy winger to take you on again. So that has been working well for City in recent weeks. Obviously, Foden will be key. He missed training against Brighton, but I think he should be fine. And has been the main man this season, really, with De Bruyne being absent and Haaland not being informed. Foden's been the one that has dragged them to where they need and want to be. And when he gets space, either in the middle or kind of drifting in from the right, he's just, I mean, he's up there for player of the season because he's just been so important to this City team. So I would expect kind of Foden, Grealish and Doku all to have their say on the game.
What kind of chance do you give Forest, having seen so much of City? Because as a fan, you know, I give them one in ten. We might get a draw, and that's probably generous. How are you seeing the game? Having seen a lot of City,
yeah, I think 1 in 10 maybe sounds about right. You know, we're used to this being the point in the season when City really turn it on, and you know they will know they need the 3 points, so they will sort of look to be at their best. At the same time, you know, watching City all season, you've kind of thought they're not quite as good as they were, and conceding goals so regularly is not really sustainable for a team that wants to win the league. You know, you look at Arsenal and they've just kind of completely shut out teams, and that's why they look so strong. City haven't quite been doing that. They've not been sort of battering teams in the way that they did a few years ago. So the margins are closer, and after a, you know, what will be a very uncomfortable 90 minutes for them at Brighton on Thursday, they will kind of have to get back to Manchester first and recover and go again. So things have been catching up with City slowly, but it's just whether they can hold off on that again. And, you know, Forest, I think really the home atmosphere will have to kind of do as much as it can, because, you know, City can be knocked off by those kind of things. It can make it more difficult for them. So I think it's just going to have to be kind of a huge effort from everyone at Forest on Sunday if they want something.
Just brought a couple more questions at Simon just before we finish off. Quick advert for our sponsors, the Trent Navigation. You can get all the build up to the match against City at the Nav with matchday host Simon Fotheringham. Top quality food inside and out, and two bars to make sure you're not queuing for too long, hopefully. So do get down the Nav before the game and after, and they'll be showing whatever games are on TV either side of our match. Just a couple more, Simon, before I let you go. Forest's best assets are probably pace and attack and the finishing of Chris Wood. I guess City are pretty well covered in that area. I assume Kyle Walker's going to play, and Vardiol's pretty rapid, isn't he, as well, if I've seen enough of him?
Yeah, he is. I mean, Chris Wood scored in the game last year, didn't he? Scored the equaliser. Wood, obviously, a threat. I think Morgan Gibbs-White has obviously been very good this season as well, and is the sort of player who would cause City problems. I think if City are worried about any Forest players in particular, I think Gibbs-White is probably the one that they're going to have to keep on track of, because he's the kind of player who can just kind of slip between the lines and have that moment of quality before they've readjusted. There is always the potential for City to come unstuck at the back this season, and I think it's not too difficult to see where it could come from, but it just relies on kind of Forest being bold and brave enough to commit properly when they do attack.
And just lastly, we always like to finish with kind of a neutral's point of view on the relegation battle specifically, not just Forest. You have seen Luton recently. I think they played Burnley, Everton. Obviously, they've basically got all the teams out of the way now, apart from us. When you look at those teams at the bottom, do you see enough in Forest to think they'll be all right? Or are we relying on the lack of quality of the teams below us to save us?
Yeah, it was only last week, really, with Burnley winning at Sheffield United, and I thought, you know what, Burnley aren't far off. I know a few people at Burnley, and it feels like they took about 4 months to adapt to the Premier League, but now they have. You know, I feel like if the season had started January to December, Burnley would be probably all right. And are they 3 points off Forest?
Yeah, 3 points with a significantly worse goal. But we do play them on the last day as well.
That's what I thought. Yeah. So Burnley are the interesting one for me, but also because kind of everyone's written off Burnley and Luton have been talked about as the, you know, really good team out of those three. And I think they have defied expectations. They've done really well, but Luton gave City a really tough game at Kenilworth Road in December, and they took a point. They drew with Liverpool, and I think at that point I was kind of like, Luton have done really well against the big teams at home, even if they've not kind of taken points. And so when they play the other teams at home, that could be a real weapon for them. And then you see them getting spanked by Brentford at home, and you kind of think, oh, have they actually just kind of run out of gas and not got enough? You know, a big win for Everton last week that sort of seems to lift them away from things. I kind of think Forest is sort of one good result away from being fine. It just feel like it just needs that, a bit like Everton managed on Sunday, just to be able to pull away slightly and say, yeah, no, we've got that distance we need. But I think while it is so tight and with Luton close behind, and even if, you know, Burnley were to pull level with kind of four or five games to go, or three or four, just knowing that last day of the season, you don't want to be going to the last day of the season. From watching Forest from afar, it's just been an odd year, really, with kind of Steve Cooper is obviously such a Forest great, but the team not quite doing it. And then Nuno came in and things seemed to get better. But then just as you'd sort of said, oh yeah, Nuno, he's got him sorted now, it's fine. It just seems to have quietly regressed in the last few weeks and months, and suddenly there's a bit of trouble again. So yeah, I still see Forest staying up. But if there's a team to trouble them, I think Burnley might be one to watch out for. That could be a hell of a final day.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Like I'm assuming we lose to City, obviously, and then if Luton lose to Wolves, which I think they will, and then Burnley lose to Man United, which they should, but
yeah,
Man U are so awful, they're so bad. If we get through that, and then it's all eyes, our game is Sheffield United away, and we just, that's the one that you look at, and then we've got Chelsea at home, and obviously Chelsea without Cole Palmer and Thiago Silva are a different proposition.
Yeah,
but it's still a really tough game. So I do think we've got enough, but that Everton game, if you take away the VAR madness, we just didn't actually play very well, and that troubles me a bit. But yeah, right, I'm going to let you go because you've got press with Pep shortly. How are those? Is he a bit scary or not?
No, he's fine, really. It's a strange one because for years he's been much better in the embargoed sections of press conference than the broadcast sections. So sort of the broadcast section are usually quite short and terse and a bit sarcastic, and those are the kind of the things that you see. And he's just intent on not giving a headline away. You know, like Sky Sports plays around the training ground, and Pep, whenever he leaves his press conference, he doesn't want to see his face with a headline. So he sort of, when people see him on the telly, it's always a bit needly, maybe. And then the second half of the press conference, which is for written, he sort of completely relaxes and gives much longer and much better answers. And yeah, he's there's a bit of Pep fatigue after 8 years with, you know, the same questions and answers. But he's pretty good with us.
Yeah, that sounds like the same sort of thing with managers at Forest when you go over to the sofas and you do the written stuff, and they're much more relaxed. Yeah, although Cooper was always really good with media. Nuno's got his own way of doing things for better or worse, which is fine. You know, that's fine. Right, Simon, we shall let you go. As ever, if everyone has enjoyed this, do us a favour, hit like, hit subscribe, give us a good review on iTunes, and you can become a channel member. But in the meantime, thank you very much, Simon. Have a good day, everyone, and we shall see you soon. Sports Social Podcast Network.